Today's program was brought to you by Roth, Wisconsin, makers of the world's best cheese and pioneers in the U.S. artisan cheese movement. For more information, visit rothcheese.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
Welcome to Love Bites, coming at you from Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jacqueline Raposo, the producer and one of your hosts here. It's winter. Ben, my darling co-host and dear friend, is hard at work in Portland, Oregon. And in his absence, I'm taking a little personal hibernation. But we've got a really lovely series to share with you, Couples of the Food World. We've asked five couples in the food and hospitality industries the same questions about how they make working, living, and loving together happen. Where are the joys, and where are the hardships? Today we're sharing a show we recorded a few weeks ago and saved just for you. So we hope you enjoy it. And if you want to find out what we are doing right now, who we are dating, and how we are loving, you can always find us as at Love Bites Radio on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And don't forget to tag us on your tweets and photos, or use the hashtag GiveLove so that we can follow along with what you are doing, too. Happy winter. Enjoy the show.
Joe and Jill Dobias are the husband and wife team behind Joe and Mrs. Doe. On top of running their very delicious, intimate Get There Now restaurant, catering and event company, Joe's competed on television. Jill's cocktail work is incredibly creative, as was her prior career as a professional ballet dancer. And both of their work has been much beloved by people who like to like food and drink. They live in the West Village with their rescue dogs, Rena and Gotti, and we are very excited to have them with us in the studio today. Welcome to Love Bites, Joe and Jill.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Very well.
Very good. Thank you.
They're nervous. I can sense
yeah.
it.
It's
like, I feel like we're nervous, too, though.
Are we?
I don't know. This is like the first of the series that we're doing with couples, and it's cold.
It's true. We don't want to ruin any relationships.
We don't. You know? And I feel like we're already putting pressure on certain things. And all right. Well, let's just jump into it. So let's get some backstory.
Well, let me
on
just
this
say
beautiful couple in
that
front of
I own 52% of the business.
So if anyone's walking away on top,
right now.
I like that.
I'm the boss.
I like that. If somebody's walking away,
there's a hint of a threat there.
I'll let her answer all questions first today formulate my answer appropriately.
Yay, I'm liking this already. So let's start from the beginning. Let's do some basics. How long have you guys been together in total?
Now I think we're going on our 12th year together.
12.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's impressive.
I have a feeling I'm going to be doing a lot of awing.
We're just over 3 years of official marriage, though.
Yeah, we just got married in 2013.
Oh, wow. Do you feel like you still have a newlywed glow about you, or no? Is 12 years, you're like, it's 12 years.
I think so. I think that we have a different kind of relationship now. We're coming into our sort of an adult relationship. Before we were children, I think, and we were wild and carefree. Not that we aren't anymore, but now we're starting to talk about, you know, realistic things like, you know, children and will we ever own a home one day or
yeah.
stuff like that. Are we going to live in a five
angst.
Floor walk up forever? You know,
that is pretty adult.
Yeah.
So, you know, no longer what paint color is, just like now it's like, is this it? You know, 400 square feet? So.
Oh, city living is so
yeah.
scary. Well, how did you guys meet? When and how did you meet? Go back to 12 years
yeah.
ago.
Okay, so Joe and I met in a restaurant 12 years ago on Sullivan Street. It was my first day as a server.
Your very first
my
day?
My very first day, and it was his last day as the chef of this restaurant. And Joe lived above the restaurant with another girl at the time.
Uh-oh.
I know.
That's romantic, though.
It's scandalous.
Yeah.
She was not the other woman, don't worry.
No. I really wasn't. And that's not, like, my thing anyway. But so Joe, I guess, was like... So I met him in the restaurant. It was my first day. I had no idea what I was doing, really. I had worked in other restaurants before, but I didn't have, like, much experience in the business. So I went to run food to a table, and the only thing I remember about our experience was that he told me to get my head out of my ass. And that was our first meeting.
So romantic.
I am a true romantic.
Joe, and I remember him, although he swears against it, I remember him wearing a bandana in the kitchen. And he's like, I've never worn a bandana.
That was not
in life. So I went to run food to a table. I was like, you want me to run this? He's like, yeah, get your head out of your ass.
Gentlemen, remember that line.
Get your head out of your ass.
It will lead to 12 years of
yes, wear a exactly. bandana and throw
even
a
funnier line. in our New York Times wedding announcement, they changed it to, or we had to change it to
dropping.
No.
I like it.
Get your head out of the clouds, because they like didn't want to like put that in print.
The New York Times, they're always watering watering down the truth.
And
well, then who asked who out first?
Well, okay, like, so sorry. So Joe was breaking up with the girl that whatever, and I was still working in the restaurant, and he was working in another restaurant, but he still lived above, and he was throwing out his pizza boxes every day in front of the restaurant, and I would be like, hey, you know, I'd wave to him.
Are you sad?
My single days had a lot of options of food. Pizza.
Yeah.
Toppings. Toppings.
Pepperoni one night. Yeah.
And then he came in and gave me his number. And
the first time I had ever done that to a girl.
Get your head out of your ass. Here's my number.
Yeah, exactly. What were you thinking?
And then he, like, you know, he, like, chased me. And then I was like, okay, fine, I'll date you. Okay, whatever you want.
Wait, so he
had to work on you a little bit?
Oh, definitely. Oh, yeah.
Were you not into him at
not
first?
Into him.
Well, so what worked? Because the whole idea of persistence, I think, is very interesting in dating. And I think that's lacking a lot with
Well, I feel like there's the fear you could push someone. Like, you could be, like, too much. You don't want to push someone away. You also don't want to be, like, as a guy in today's world, you don't want to be, like... You know,
too
perceived as
yeah.
too aggressive or being just, you know.
And then on the flip side, now we've talked about how a lot of people rely on online dating. And so in real life situations, they don't really have the guts to sort of go after something. So what did you do, Joe, that worked, Jill?
All I can say that, well, I'll step in once. I know you asked that to Jill, but I miss the online dating.
Yeah, and I did too. You know,
I thankfully missed that.
Yeah, so what did you do? Yeah, Joe, what did you do?
Like, you know, I had never gone out of my way to ask a female out before ever. You know, so it was sort of one of those things. Like, if I like someone,
just came
sort
to
of,
him. You know,
I wish.
He had ladies knocking down his door all day.
It wasn't really like that. I was painfully shy and. Sort of broke out of that bubble when I went to college and did a lot of public speaking, became a chef, and sort of started to wear things on the outside of my pants, you know, that I didn't before. And I thought a lot of myself, you know, at that age. And I think that I was just, you know, I guess on a hot streak. And Jill thought
I'm
that.
I'm glad you thought all of that.
You know, and I think Jill got the perception that I was just this, you know, arrogant, you know, jerk that sort of just had a girlfriend and was looking for, you know, a nice rebound situation or something like that. But I kind of stuck around, and it wasn't about, you know, the typical hookup or anything like that. Like it goes these days, you know, online dating, I think a lot of times in apps, you know, from a male perspective anyway, just the way I look at it is, you know, they're trying to have sex with you most often, not, you know, and that's just the reality of it. That's why I think that face-to-face interaction is still important, and being able to, you know, not wear her down, but, you know, see her often enough and show interest often enough.
Jill's nodding.
Yeah.
Like, no, he wore me down.
Yeah. I mean, because, you know, like, if it were up to her, she would have been like, yeah, we'll go on a date, and then you'll go away just like the rest of them. So.
Aww. Yeah, I was kind of just, like, off in my own world. And Joe, like, texted me from his Nokia phone. And,
my flip phone.
Using, like, you had to press the button.
Yeah, you had it three times to get the L, and you're like, you missed it.
We're not that old, but I feel like we both kind of miss the internet dating, as Joe said. And Like, I was telling him this morning when we were walking to the train, like, my life kind of just, like, happens around me, and I'm, like, participating in it. I didn't, like, plan anything out for myself. Like, most girls
say... Well, good, because then your plans would have all been fucked
up. Yeah, I guess so. But, like, most girls say to me, like, oh, my God, did you, like, plan your wedding dress and, like, your first baby name? And, like, and I just didn't even... It never even crossed my mind. Well, so... Like, none of this...
The baby name.
None of this shit.
She's
none of
lying
it.
About that.
No, well, I do have a baby name. But, like, no, none of this stuff. So when Joe... Like, I still feel like this, that Joe picked me, and if he hadn't... picked me to be his, like, wife, then I would just be, like, out in the world, like, wandering, like, not dating anybody.
I don't think that at all.
I do. I seriously do. I would be, like, doing my own thing somewhere.
Well, tell me from both of your perspectives, what do you remember about what falling in love felt like? In, like, you know, 5 or 6 words. Like, think back to actually falling in love with your partner. What did that feel like?
For me, it was like a really exciting time because I had come out of a relationship that wasn't too healthy. My partner had a pretty bad drug problem and things of that nature, alcohol, and it didn't go so well at the end. And I sort of wanted like a riddance of that whole situation. And Jill coming along was like this fresh and exciting and sort of clean perspective to things. And an intellectual equal that I had not had before. And I really enjoyed... You know, and I realized that was something I was missing. Yeah.
Cute.
Another collective. How about you, Jill?
For me, I think, like, I knew... I'm talking into it. knew that... Sorry. when I no longer became uptight, that I knew, like, I was certainly in love because, like... My mom's, like, you know, pretty intense and, like, you know, come from kind of a conservative Jewish family. And Joe is, like, just kind of, like, you know, like...
I'm the goy boy.
Yeah, yeah. He's just kind of, like, a little bit more easygoing and, like, just can, like, laugh at himself. And I think I took myself, like, a little too seriously before I met Joe. And he was able to help me relax. And that's something relaxing in my family is a hard thing.
It's
so
like a 4-letter word.
So after you went through this process of falling in love, who like admitted it to the other person first? Who said I love you first? Do you remember?
I don't remember.
I think I did. Just because I'm a sap like that. And
yeah, he like gets me cards. I'm like, what is this?
Yeah.
Like,
you know, I'm a 2-card guy. I'm like the one that's funny. It's like, you know, a dick joke. And then the other, like, one is like real
cards.
Sappy, like, aww. You know, a long one. Then I'll write stuff in it.
I'm
she's like, what are you? You wrote all this in there?
Yeah,
and she's like, love Jill. You know?
Yeah, I'm like
you're so sentimental.
Scribble on a napkin. Like, it's cool. Like,
she comes from the, you know, the family of like price tags on the gifts. Like, don't look at how much it costs.
Yeah, just take the present. Yeah.
You know, it's in a bag that was, you know, from TJ Maxx. Like, it's still in the bag.
Bag, yeah.
Well, speaking of scribbling, I think that's a good transition to playing our game for today. Let's play the oldlywed game. Like, we can't quite call it the newlywed game.
Well, yes, they're
well,
like
no, that's,
midly,
we're calling mid-lywed. This across the board the oldlywed yes. game because okay. I think it's because you're not exactly newlywed. So, listeners, before they came on the show today, I asked them 5 questions and they scribble down their answers for themselves and for their partner. So, will you please grab your little scraps of paper? And we're going to start with. All right, so number one, Joe, what is Jill's favorite comfort food?
This is a hard question for me because...
He's already backpedaling.
Yeah, I am backpedaling. I'm giving a politician's answer right now. I went with a breakfast type item that for 8 years we've been doing brunch together, and she has this way of coming to me and always asking me for a buttered roll, so... It's probably wrong, but...
Is that right?
It's wrong, but, you know, I do appreciate a buttered roll.
And she always says to me, do you want to split a buttered roll? And then I turn around for my half,
morning.
And it's gone. She's eating the whole thing.
What was your answer, Joe?
Lay's Classic potato chips.
Oh,
all right.
Those are good. Okay. All right, yeah. Jill, what is Joe's favorite comfort food?
Say, hands down, pizza.
Yes.
Yes, we have a winner.
Ben, do you want to do number 2?
Okay.
We have to keep score. So Jill has one.
Jill has one. Yes.
Okay. One for Jill.
Okay. Here's our second question. What is your partner's signal for?
Let's get it on.
Let's get it on.
Jill cuts the chase and just says, let's sexy time, where she gives me like a little paw and goes, babe.
That is so right.
Yay!
That is right.
Yes, Todd Walgreen.
And then, well, this was tough for me, to be honest with you, but I said, he tells me he wants to make a baby.
Is that right?
That might be my recent
that
answer.
Is recent.
But usually I just grab her and then thrust on her.
Yeah.
Like a little dog.
Kind of
unromantic.
So I guess I was wrong.
Oh, yeah. All right.
One to one.
Okay, number three. What's on the flip side? What's your code word for you're in trouble?
You go first.
Jill, you want to go first?
I call him Joe.
Yes.
Just Joe versus...
She never calls me Joe.
I don't call him by his name.
Is there a tone of voice?
Certainly, and she
no,
never
no,
yeah, exactly, kind of like that. But she never calls me Joe. It's always babe or honey or sweet or pumpkin or whatever food item she can get.
It's like serious business. So
it's like when your mother uses your middle name, you know.
So is that correct, Joe?
Yes, it is.
That was correct. All right, two for two. There we go.
There's the signal.
Okay, and Joe, yours for?
I'm gonna go with I call her Karen. That's like a sign to chill out because that's her word. Biatch coming out.
He calls
out.
Me Karen.
Yay. Oh, two correct. Where's the bell? Where's the bell, David? There we go. 2-2. Yeah. All right.
The judges were just still weighing in on that one. Okay. What is your partner's favorite alcoholic beverage?
Jill's is a Negroni.
Correct?
Correct.
Ooh,
and she will go out of her way to tell the bartender the way she likes it, the ratio as well.
People think it's obnoxious, but no. You know what?
If she doesn't like it hot.
It's so easy to make a bad Negroni. Yeah.
If somebody gives it to me with 1.5 ounces of gin, there's no way I'm drinking it. Okay?
She has two of them. She's dead.
And I prefer Spanish vermouth over Italian vermouth and lots of ice in a big rocks glass. Okay? If you're wondering.
Bartenders out there, be ready.
Not particular at all.
Okay. Jill?
Beer.
Yes.
3-3.
Three. Okay, and the final question is, what would your partner's, like, last meal be, last supper be?
I would say steak for Jill, but it could be more specifically like a tomahawk ribeye or something with a giant bone in.
And no starch either.
Yes. No starch.
Oh. Yep, 1,000% right. Tomahawk will be like gnawing on that bone. pizza for him.
Yes. And more specifically from Coliseo.
Yeah, Coliseo pizza.
Okay. Oh my goodness. They tried.
Wow. 4-4.
That was really
amazing.
That was
we really do love each
you
other.
You do, and you know.
Oh, the love is abundant.
Stellar. Well, and they kissed too. Oh, good. Nobody. So yeah. Oh, all right.
So we're staying together.
You did not ruin a marriage.
We did not ruin.
That very.
Yes, we're going to take a commercial.
I know. We'll be back to ruin it. Don't worry.
There's more to come.
We'll be entering the dark side on the return from break. But on that very positive note, we're going to take a short break to hear a word about our sponsor. But before we get to that, a reminder that you can find all of our shows archived on iTunes and Stitcher Radio, as well as at www.heritageradionetwork.org. And while you're there, we'd love to have you throw a few dollars toward Heritage Radio. As a nonprofit, member-supportive station devoted to all things food, your money goes directly towards helping our tiny and devoted team produce over 30 weekly live shows, plus members-only events and special programs. So head to heritageradionetwork.org/donate, and we will love you forever. We'll be right back.
And this track is called Love It by our former intern, Malcolm. We'll be right back. Have you tasted the world's best cheese? Grand Cru Sirchois is the 2016 World Cheese Champion. Our partners at Roth, Wisconsin make this gorgeous alpine-style cheese in the rolling hills of Greene County, Wisconsin. Grand Cru Sirchois is produced by hand in Swiss copper vats and finished by aging on spruce planks. The quality milk and careful craftsmanship bring out the award-winning light floral notes, nutty undertones, a hint of fruitiness, and a mellow finish. Perfect with Riesling and Muscat, Grand Cru Sirchois is a guaranteed hit for any occasion. Check out their other offerings at rothcheese.com. You'll discover Buttermilk Blue, and their newest release, Prairie Sunset, the golden-hued love child of Mimolette and Gouda. You'll also find recipes like the raclette Reuben and tomato tartlets. Everything you need to know about the world's best cheese is at rothcheese.com.
And we are back with Joe and Jill Dobias of Joe and Mrs. Doe in the East Village. So we're doing this series on couples in the food industry, and now we're going to talk specifically about you guys working together in the food industry. So, Joe, you are the chef behind Joe and Mrs. Doe, and Jill, you do the front of house stuff, the cocktail program, the social media, the marketing, the PR. Many, many hats there, many, many fancy, adorable ballerina hats there. So so starting from the beginning, and listeners, a little sort of, I know a little bit about them also because I've written about them for the Village Voice, and they're just really badass people who I have an enormous amount of respect for. So I want to dig a little bit more into how this happened, that you work together, and the joys and the frustrations of it's a really hard field. Having a restaurant in New York City and being a chef is exhausting, and doing front of house stuff, you guys do it all together. You did it all on your own. You put all of your money into it. You don't have partners, correct? This is your baby.
Correct.
So you're financially independent with your restaurant. How many seats do you have in your restaurant?
24 to 26.
24 to 26.
Depending on how many you squeeze.
Plus your events, and you do a lot of film shoots and television shoots and catering for large businesses. You guys cover a lot. So in the beginning, were you worried about working together in the same field, in the same business as a couple?
You know, I can speak for myself on the whole thing that, you know, I tell the story often that the original incarnation of the restaurant, Joe Doe, was, you know, my dream, if you will. But it was conceived and realized by Jill and her mother, you know, pushing me into saying, you know, like, you're intolerable as an employee, you know, and this is probably why you keep leaving jobs.
He kept getting fired from his jobs. That's what he's telling you.
Well, I was a young boy, and I got myself a chef job probably way too early. It was supposed to be a sous chef job, but turned into a chef job because the chef was a drunk, and like a lot of us are.
It happened, yeah.
And, you know, it ends up happening. And, you know, I was there to step up and take the keys at way too early of an age, and sort of got it in my mind that I was never to not hold them again, and that was probably not the right perspective to have at that time. But, you know, opening my own restaurant and doing all of those things, now I have a much deeper respect for the ownership and the people that I did work with in the past that, you know, as many of us think in the chef world, they don't know what the fuck they're doing. The reality is, like, when you're cutting checks, you know, it's a little bit different. You know, you end up realizing just how hard and just how emotional that process is, and it goes well beyond money. It goes into a personal pride kind of situation. So
now back to me and how
I'm trying to get to that. Like, what Jill was doing in the beginning for me was helping me realize that I could open a restaurant in the city, and that it was something that, even though we're going to struggle, we could do. You know, because in my mind it was, you know, and I think this is a realization of a lot of mom and pop business that you need millions of dollars to open a restaurant in the city. While that is still true, there is a reality of trying to get it done on the opposite end of the spectrum. And when you brought up all the things that we do, that's because of Jill being the ultimate hustler. So
we hustle, I love that word.
Yeah, so we, you know, we have the New York City hustle where,
yeah, I definitely have some hustle.
You know, and I think I've taught her to be far more aggressive than she was before. And I think that there was some sort of timidness in her where I almost like helped her tap her inner strength of being the boss. Like, and I don't think that she really thought she was a boss, but you know, if you ever met her mother before, like, she comes from a line of bosses, like real
strong
bosses.
Strong female personality.
52%.
Yeah.
Yeah. I find that like in a business setting, like now I've kind of come into my own and I take the pressure off of Joe a lot, where he used to feel like he was the only one that, you know, could lead the ship. And I oftentimes send him home and I deal with things that you wouldn't think that I would, you know, would normally deal with. Plumbing situations, electrical situations, things that you know, the girl that runs the front of house is not normally dealing with. But, you know, Joe has taught me well, and I feel like oftentimes I can boss people around and get what I want by being sweet. And, you know, people can't tell me no. So it's
that's why I'm here.
Yeah.
So you're doing a wonderful job of sharing all of the ways in which you've enriched your lives through work and how it works out and all the positives. I'm wondering if now you might be able to share what some of the challenges might be of being American.
Well, there are definitely lentils thrown, and we specifically lentils because that did happen. That was a
couple lemons that did.
Yeah,
lemons
and an ice bin.
Well, let's go to specifically that for a second. Like, what sparks things getting thrown at each other? Because you both have very strong personalities. You're in a small restaurant in a small space that's high pressure for what you both cover. So, what does it take to throw lentils and lemons at each other?
So, I can tell from my own self-introspection, it was mostly my fault in the beginning. I'm a very hot-headed person, and I had a tendency to sort of roll over everyone, and including myself. So, you know, almost undo things that I was doing positively with my mouth or with my reactions towards things. Maybe acting very Trumpian, if you want to use a current terminology.
Well,
but,
the
good
news
Jill,
is, yeah.
Jill was able to really temper that, and I think that also, we were able to together realize, like, there's a certain point where you have to just give up and let the other person have their way, and also figure out what your roles are. She's stronger than me doing certain things that I used to do, and
like
vice
what?
Versa. You know, like, things like I used to do with, like, deal with purveyors, deal with, like the fire department, the health department, go to court about things. And this is all realistic things. You know, chefs don't get to do this a lot of times, but, you know, Center Street will be your friend if you own a business in this city, because, you know, everybody wants a piece of your action. Everybody has a hand in your pocket. And if you don't have a front of house component like that, it's very hard for a chef to try to, you know, and I don't want to be too philosophical about it and get all, you know, artistic on you, but, like, it's tough to clear your head and say, like, well, you know, what's going to go well with the beats tonight when somebody's barking at you about
money or whatever,
or
regulation or something.
Or
yeah.
Right.
So it's good to have a counterpart. Actually, that's I'm glad you brought that up, because we were recently on Long Island at a restaurant, and you could just tell that this chef didn't have a me.
And just, like, overstressed.
He was, like, in the kitchen, like, staring at us from the host stand, trying to make sure that everything was okay. It was too much. Yeah, it's like, and so when people say, like, what, when people say to Joe, like, I really want to open a restaurant that are, like, his age or whatever, he's like, yeah, you got to find a wife that knows the business.
Or it's going to tolerate the hours you have to put in. That's another thing that you were saying before, is, like, you know, how do you work together? You know, well, in my mind, it's like, why wouldn't we work together? Because I would barely ever see her.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
That's
so
true.
it was not only convenient that we fell into the same business together, but sort of, like, super beneficial for both of us, because we're smart enough to learn from our mistakes, and we haven't repeated our mistakes, thank God, and when it comes to our relationship or our business.
Well,
I'm
going to circle you back to Ben's question, though. Like, what are some of those hard things? What are some of the mistakes? Like, what gets you angry at each other?
I mean,
because you work together.
I mean, underestimating the amount of time you actually are going to spend together, you know, and being able to tolerate things that in most relationships, you know, maybe someone would just explode and, oh, I'm going to the bar or whatever. You can't escape from the other person in a way now. So you have to learn even more coping skills in order to deal with things that maybe you wouldn't want to deal with before. You wouldn't have to, because they would go to work for 8 hours. You'd go to work for 10 hours and you'd see each other for an hour or two before bed. That's not really the relationship we've cultivated, though. Now we have had open, conscious conversations about how to differentiate between work and not work. And that, you know, when we were joking before about Karen, like, you know, there's a junction. You know, I always call it the Starbucks junction. As we're walking to work across town, we pass Broadway, and then, you know, work Karen comes in and Jill's gone.
Yep.
You know, and then
that happens, like, on the walk. I, like, it's just, like, a natural thing. I start going through the list of things we have to do that day, and, like, his schedule, and, like, Joe, again, like I said, I was walking around, like, and just my life is happening around me. Well, Joe kind of is like that now too, because I plan his entire life. Okay. So, like, I'm his publicist, I'm his secretary, I answer his emails. Like, the other day someone was saying, like, they didn't have their husband's email on their phone. I was like, you don't have your husband's email on your phone? Like, I thought that was a regular thing. Like,
I think, you know, that's one thing that we take for granted now, that a lot of relationships don't have, is, like, you know, we are genuinely open and honest with each other. It's not because we feel an obligation or anything like that. I just think that there is no other way, you know, and there is, especially when we're doing business together too. What am I supposed to do? Hide money from her? Like hide, you know, it just doesn't make any sense to me. Like how we couldn't share a bank account, how we couldn't share our life and our bed. And
so wait, did we answer business. The original question? I'm sorry.
Maybe.
In a roundabout enough way, yes.
Are you looking for like one specific incident that would like set us off?
We have other things to talk about. Ben, go ahead. You look like you have a question.
Yeah. Well, I guess my question does pertain a little bit to what you were just talking about, which is like, how does, when you are with Karen, but you want to talk to Jill, like, how does that play out? And, like, how do you navigate those waters?
I think through just general experience, unfortunately, like, we've had to have some fights, you know? We've had a lot of, you know, pretty serious fights, you know? We're not without emotion. Two of us run very high on it, you know? And then we're also very high on opinion, so...
Couldn't tell.
Yeah. So you have to, you know, I think the best way to answer it is just you have to at some point humble yourself to the idea that you're not always right. And I think that was definitely a challenge for me. And I don't know if it happened until I was 32 years old and, you know, that was only 5 years ago. So she's only had an adult in her relationship with for five of the 12 years. You know, it really is. You have to grow up and you have to.
Joe's gotten a lot better at like understanding when to like back off, and me the same with like between Jill and Karen. And now I can recognize myself when I'm becoming Karen and when I need to just like chill out. Like it's just eggs. Like it's okay.
Do you give yourself parameters? Like when we go home, we turn off, or like, do you have a way of when you go to Long Island to see your family, because you guys work so much, like, do you give yourself space to be like, we're not going to work together right now. We're just going to be Joe and Jill, we're going to be husband and wife. Do you ever do that, or do you have ways that you
I've forced,
try to do that, or is it just too intertwined at this point?
No, I think that we've forced ourselves. I kind of forced it because, you know, Jill has a way of sometimes maybe just one topic will bring up 20, you know, and it becomes a river. You know, so I was very conscious, I think, recently, you know, maybe halfway through our restaurant where we just said, like, we have to go out of our way. It was when we owned, had a second business as well, that wasn't the catering, which is a little bit easier for us to manage. When we had two retail businesses at the same time, the pressure level was through the roof. But that was when we were like, this is when we have to now segregate. Like, this is a day off. We can't talk about payroll. We can't talk about how much money.
Yeah. Also, when we got our dogs, I think like Rena's like 2 years ago, right? We got Rena, and she's a senior dog. So we got her at 8, and now she's 10, and it kind of made us want to spend more time at home. And like, we had boxes in our apartment like for 7 years. Like we didn't unpack. Yeah, we didn't unpack. We had like a frat fridge. It was like ketchup,
like
mustard. And like, I love mayonnaise, so anything with mayonnaise, like, but you know, having our dogs like really made us kind of like be like, okay, like we need to have like a home life. Now we have a reason to go home between brunch and dinner. Like we didn't have that reason before. So sometimes we would stay at the restaurant for like 15 to 18 hours, like just like,
and that's
working.
Something too, in the beginning of the restaurant, you know, everybody knows who's opened a restaurant, the first year or two, you know, God willing, if you stay in business, are the most difficult. And that's when you're going to literally evaporate from life. You know, no one's going to see you anymore. Even on the days off, you're at the restaurant trying to figure out what happened the week before that was screwed up. Or, hey, you know what? Now we got a plumbing issue that we didn't think we were going
to
have.
Or how to increase your sales, or how to book more events. And like, from my perspective, like, I don't turn off. It just doesn't happen. Okay. Like, what's really funny is that
I force it.
Yeah. Like, one time we were at one of Harold Dieterle's restaurants and a friend of ours, and we were talking. And
so yummy. Mm.
So good. So
yummy.
And he was like,
so missed.
Yeah.
So missed.
Totally, yeah. Totally miss him. But he was talking about, like, oh, you know, like, I saw that picture of the steak. Like, who do you get your beef from? And I was like, yeah, right. Like, I'm going to tell you my beef purveyor. Like, he only sells to me. Like, fuck you. Like, like, no, you're going to steal my friggin' beef. Like, no. Like, but like, so I can't even like sometimes turn off in social situations. We were just recently at a Friendsgiving, and it's like right away, this like girl like didn't like us. us because like we were just
stealing her thunder.
Yeah, we were like stealing her stuffing.
We were stealing. It was stuffing gate that
stuffing
night.
We'll get into that later. And like Joe and I were like in the kitchen, kind of like taking over, but like not intentionally, just because like we're
just sort of where we gravitate.
Yeah, we gravitate towards the kitchen. Like they were, our friends were like floundering with their turkey a little bit. Sorry, Frank and Mel. And it was hot in the apartment. She wouldn't open the windows because the plants would die. Yada yada.
It's hard to be an accidental food snob, isn't it? You're accidentally a food snob.
I didn't even mean to. I brought a nice bottle of wine and I like wanted to pour it and talk about it and nobody was interested.
It's not your fault. You know more than everybody else. You know, it's just you can't help it. Well, how, I mean, you've been together for 12 years. Your restaurant's been open for 8. The industry has changed a lot since you've been together and since you've had this particular location. So how has the dynamic of your relationship changed the most in, let's just say, the 8 years that you've had the restaurant itself, as far as how you work as a couple when you were in the restaurant together? How would you say your relationship has changed the most, considering, you know, how the restaurant has changed and how the industry has changed around you? I know that's a big question.
Yeah. I think that for both of us, I think that we've become more adult about the whole situation, and we've learned to appreciate what we want to do in the business. And by that I mean, like, especially from my own perspective, when I first opened the restaurant, it was called Jodo, was an exercise in arrogance and like a bravo kind of me kind of spirit, you know, like I was trying to be bigger, better, faster, more than, you know, these restaurants that now I don't really, I realize I don't want to be. I don't want to be part of a big company. I don't want to open up 12 places and have one in Singapore. Like, maybe one day we want to do that. But I think that for me, I've garnered way more appreciation of what Jill and I create with our own hands. And I'm like sort of painfully artisan in that way, where I not that I refuse to make money. I want to make money because my wife wants to be rich and all that. You know, like, she wants to be wealthy.
It's true.
But, you know,
we all secretly.
Yeah.
I mean, I say it out loud. I don't care. I want to be, like, filthy rich. And if he is going to live in a shack by the river, like, that's fine. But, like, I'm not going to.
He can come visit you on weekends.
Well, see, that, you
know, like,
I just believe that, you know, because I am one of the suckers who did get into this business not for money. And I really didn't do it for money. I've never done it for money. I never made a lot of money doing it. And I know there are a lot of people who want to be like the investor in their place. You know, they want to live like the billionaire flosser baller. Like, it makes me cringe, you know, because I have a lot of work left in me. And I think that I feel like next steps for us would be trying to secure that restaurant that I could hand to my child one day or my children. And I'm back and forth sometimes on whether or not Manhattan is a place for something like that. Because, you know, even places like Gramercy Tavern and Union Square Cafe and, like, you know, Boulay's places, like all these amazing chefs that are just, I think, the world of, and you know, maybe in 30, 40 years I would be regarded that way. But when I was 20, I thought I was already there. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, like, now you've gained that perspective. You know, and that's...
But Union Square Cafe, that's 17 years and moved. I mean, so even that is not...
Nothing is forever.
And the problem, too, is, like, you know, when we opened, we were on that cusp of the blogging situation of food in an easy media capacity. I mean, we went even back to when we opened, we had no photos printed on the menu. And I mean, now Jill, like,
you know,
feeds
how much
a line of Instagram
asset.
Through.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah. And I love it, actually. I like the process.
Go to their Instagram feed. Yeah. It's delightful. Even just for, like, what she puts on the chalkboard in front of the restaurant every day, it makes my heart happy. Just go right now. Go right now. It's Mrs. Doe, MISSESDOE, and Joe Doe Chef on Instagram and Twitter, and Joe and Mrs. Doe on Facebook. I was going to tell you in about 5 minutes. Just go right now while you're listening.
And I think that's what one thing I could say again is that we've learned together as a couple, and I think that, unfortunately, part of the problem with the New York City restaurant scene right now is that there's no patience for that learning curve. Nobody wants to see what happens when you finally figure out how to use your space right, when that chef really settles in, when that place really takes hold in the neighborhood and people are going there because it makes them feel good and they've felt good for many years now. it's too much of a pump and dump where, you know, a lot of the chefs are really, you know,
like,
because at my age, you know, too, I would have loved to have a job.
So Joe, where you by the walk, way.
Yeah, you, like, no, it's a great phrase. I love it. No, I love it genuinely.
But you walk in and, you know, I'm very real about it because, like, I went through it myself. You know, it would be great to be 25 to 30 years old as a chef in New York City, walk into a place that was financed by someone else. You know, who cares where that money comes from? And then, you know, Pete Wells or Sam Sifton or somebody like that comes in, drops two stars on your head. You can go anywhere you want now.
Yeah, but the owners don't necessarily they don't have that a ability. Successful restaurant. Right. Yeah.
And like, so that's the thing that I think Jill and I understand more than anybody does is that what happens when the person's left holding the bag, you know?
Yeah.
That's what we understand more than anyone is that a restaurant's life or its lifespan is not all about those few moments in time when somebody writes it on paper. It's an unfortunate process, but I think that it would be nicer if you would see a little bit more of the reviewing of places that have been open for a longer time, not so much the places that don't need the review getting reviewed 6, 7, 8 times.
Can I interrupt you for a second?
You can.
I just back to your original question, I think was like, how has your relationship changed, right? Or evolved
right.
with the New
with
York
the
City,
industry
with
the
industry.
Yeah.
I think that Joe and I have grown up like through the blogging kind of phase. And I know for certain Joe and I have learned how to, keep our creative integrity and make money simultaneously. And I think that you'll find if you have other restaurant couples from New York that a lot of them don't necessarily own their businesses outright. And because Joe and I are 50-50 partners in our business, like it all comes from us. And so
52-48.
Now we're 50.
You got it.
Right. Well, let it slip on that.
He got the answers right. So I'm thinking about.
She's up in my chair.
Yeah. but you know what I mean? So like, because like we are actual owners and we are young, like we opened our business in our 20s. So most people don't do that in New York City. It's actually kind of insane that we actually did that.
And we survived.
Yeah, and we survived for this many years. And I just think that Joe and I have grown up with the business. We want different things out of it. We recognize what other people have, and we're no longer envious of what other people have.
Because you know how
we're secure yeah, in our yeah. in where we fit in the business. And Joe is able to retain his creativity, and I'm able to make money for the both of us.
Hustle, yeah.
And I think we're in a happy marriage. Yeah.
Unfortunately, I love you guys so much. listeners, a shameless self-plug, go to thevillagevoice.com and search my profile, Jacqueline Impozo, and you'll find my piece with them. And then there's more from the interview because we talked for like 2 hours the day I came into the restaurant. So go to wordsfoodart.com and there's more words from them there because they are both eloquent and smart and have a shitload of really insightful stuff about this industry to share. So lots of words with them are up there. But before we go, can you please describe what you love the most about your partner in only 3 words?
I'm going to say it first. No. Okay. You're negative. Oh, yeah. She's kind. She's a absolute bulldog. And I think that she is just the most loving and caring person. Yeah, I know that was more than 3 words.
I'm going to say intelligent, hardworking, and he's got a lot of personal pride, which I think
you're going to say balls.
A lot of balls. I thought balls was coming.
I know.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, a lot of balls.
She rounded up for the beat.
Okay. A lot of chutzpah. Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Oh, love it. Well, thank you guys so much. Oh,
thanks for having us.
Thank you so much
for sharing so much. We really, really.
Yeah, I mean, my big takeaway from hearing you guys today is like I kept hearing you both say the words grow up, grown up. And I think it's amazing how well you seem to do that together.
Together, yeah.
And
partnership,
I'm like really
man.
Impressed by that and sort of really looking at your relationship as like a great model for people.
Yes,
it's really
agreed.
Impressive.
Agreed, like for better and for worse too, like hard stuff and triumph.
Thank you.
Very admirable.
Humbly.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, listeners, you can find more about Joe and Jill DeBias and the restaurant at www.joeandmrsdoe.com. That's Mrs. spelled out MISSESDOE.com, as well as on Facebook as Joe and Mrs. Doe. And on Twitter and Instagram, Joe is at Joe Doe Chef and Jill is at Mrs. Doe. And you can get more about them on our website, www.lovebitesradio.com. Or you can find out more about our upcoming guests and all of the 50-plus shows we've done for you in the past. You can also find us on all social platforms as at Love Bites Radio. And even though we are not live in the studio today, chances are I'm still tweeting and Instagramming away. So come play with me in real time there. Thank you, as always, to our engineers, Pierre and David. Our theme song is Give Love by the loveliest Josh Dion, and we are Jacqueline Raposo and Ben Rosenblatt. Love Bites will be back at the same time next week, right here at heritageradionetwork.org.
See ya.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at @heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.